Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, here today with Peter Tor. So if you followed us at Build last week at all, or I guess it's been 2 weeks now, you may notice Peter gave a very controversial session called From 4 inches to 40 feet, wasn't it?
No, 4 to 40 inches.
4 to 40 inches, not 40 feet.
No.
Okay. And you were talking about how people need to change the way they think about targeting multiple resolution devices with different sizes.
Yes, different sizes, different resolutions, different viewing distances, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
So we thought it'd be a great idea to have you come on here to expound on this a little bit, and then people can go look at your talk. We'll link to that here, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there were a lot of interesting things that you talked about there, and it'd be great to get some more color and background on. You know, what's the nature of the problem here in terms of building interfaces that work on different screen sizes?
Sure. Yeah, one of the things that I didn't talk about in the build presentation was kind of some of the backstory about how we got to where we are on the phone today, and moving forward towards universal apps. And if we go back to when we shipped Windows Phone 7 way back in the day, we were targeting a phone like this. This is the Nokia Lumia 800. It's about a 3.5-inch diagonal screen, and it has a 480 by 800 pixel display. And back in the day, I thought this was the perfect size phone, right? It fits in your hand, it fits in your pocket, it's awesome. And this one won't turn on, unfortunately. Then we moved to devices such as this. This is the Lumia 920, which is a 4.5-inch screen, a higher resolution display panel, 768 by 1280. And when we moved from this size device to this size device, we didn't really change anything about the platform. Because they're approximately the same size.
And so, you have a related scale factor, correct?
So this one has 1.6 times the pixels of this one in both directions. And so for applications, they still appear to be, to the developer, 480 by 800 pixels in size. But we scale that. So for every pixel the developer mentions, that takes 1.6 pixels on the screen.
And if a developer wanted to take advantage of those pixels, they could.
They could in a very roundabout fashion, yes, but it wasn't very easy.
But they didn't have to.
No, they didn't have to.
And I don't think very many people did.
No, and also there was no way for you really to know how big this display was. You could try and figure out what the manufacturer of the phone was and then kind of do a lookup and say, well, okay, I know it's in Nokia Lumia 920, therefore I know it's 4.5 inches, therefore... It wasn't easy to do. But because these are roughly the same size, we didn't really feel the need to go and change the platform for that. But I'll put that one down. I'll put up towards the end of Windows Phone 8, Nokia shipped this, which is the Nokia Lumia 1520, which is a 6-inch diagonal display, full HD 1080p display.
Now some folks refer to these as phablets.
Yes, phone/tablets, phablets. And as you can see, it's not only significantly larger than the 920, but if we put it up against the 800, which, as I said, won't turn on, it's about as wide as the 800 was tall. And so when we get to this this size, saying, well, it's no different than this phone, let's just blow everything up to be the same size, to show the same amount of content, doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so
things would be really, really big, wouldn't they?
Yes. And so, you know, we did things like add a third column of tiles to the start menu, because if you have only two columns of tiles on this device, they're quite large.
And so that's where the idea of a third row came from, the fact that there was this more real estate and extra large tiles seemed to become less useful, less information density.
Yes, correct. And some people incorrectly associated those extra columns with the resolution being 1080p, but it's actually not related to the resolution, it's related to the physical size of the device. So a 5-inch phone would also show three columns. And now in Windows Phone 8.1, even on these smaller devices, you can choose as a customer to have three columns of tiles, but the default is still two. So as we moved from this to this, we realized that continuing with the same 480 by 800 pixel effective resolution for apps just wasn't going to work. And also, as we moved from Windows Phone apps to universal apps that run from this device to a tablet to a screen like this, we realized that obviously we needed to change.
So one of the more controversial things you said in your talk was that developers should not be thinking in terms of resolution.
Correct. So one of the messages of that talk was developers can sometimes get tripped up on worrying about things like the resolution. Like this is a 1080p phone and this is a 480p phone. or they can get tripped up on the DPI. You know, let's say, I don't know exactly what it is, but imagine this is a you know, 350 DPI phone and this is a 200 DPI phone. And they can also get wound up on this is a 6-inch display versus this is a, you know, let's say a 50-inch display. And all these technical details, these marketing details that you'd read in the brochure about, hey, buy the latest 1080p phone, mm-hmm. They're actually more confusing than helpful to developers. And so what we talk about is that developers should focus on what we call effective resolution, which is a an abstract value that we compute, the platform computes, based on the size, the resolution, and the estimated viewing distance of the device. So we abstract away the DPI, we abstract away the resolution, we abstract away the viewing distance. You know, is it arm's length? Is it, am I sitting back at a desktop? Am I, you know, a long way away from a TV? We abstract all that away and come out with a single measure of resolution, which we just call the effective resolution. And that's, that was the key point of my talk, was focusing on effective resolution rather than marketing facts like 1080p or 6-inch or that kind of thing.
So I guess the question on folks' minds would be, what does this mean as a developer? I want to create great apps and games that look fantastic and take advantage of more space if there is more space.
Yeah, so one of the ways you can do that in the XAML platform and in the HTML platform and in the DirectX platform, if you're using those, but today we'll focus on XAML, is a great thing called visual states. And so visual states are a mechanism that XAML uses and that you can tool in Blend. We have it up here. That let you change the visual appearance of your application based on the amount of available space. Right? So you can show and hide things, you can make them bigger or smaller, you can do all sorts of things. So if you want to just give a quick demo here, Larry.
Sure. So we're looking in Blend. And before we go to Blend, let's just quick look at this project in Visual Studio too, because I want to show we're looking at a universal project, one of the new types of projects that we announced at Build. And the universal project enables you to target both a phone device as well as a non-phone Windows device, a PC or a tablet, with these two sub-projects, as well as a shared node that contains all of the shared code for that project. All your business logic would go there, but you can even share UI there too,
yep.
Because we can do adaptive things with UI based on which platform you're on.
Exactly.
And in fact, that's what we're going to talk about here, because what we've done here is we've opened this up in Blend, and you know, Expression Blend, a tool that has a lot of functionality in it, very overlooked by many of our developer audience, just simply because of the fact that they're not aware of all the features. It can be, the UI itself is a little overwhelming here. It looks a little bit like a cockpit of a 747, yeah. I think is what most people say to me. But among the things you can do here, I mean, there's a number of things you can do in Blend you cannot do anywhere else still. Design time data is a very interesting one. Some of the animation storyboards,
yep,
is another very interesting one. Those two things are not available in Visual Studio. Some of the things, other things have moved over, like document outline and so forth. But the one that, this is the third one, is visual states. So yeah. What is a visual state, if you could just sum it up for us?
Sure, so a visual state technically is a sequence of animations that run to take your visual tree from one particular layout, for example, this layout here, which is approximating an Explorer-style UI. So we have some, you know, hypothetical ribbon buttons up here and a list view here and some content here.
But it's just representative of UI that you could have anything, subset, yep, of controls that you've grouped together in a user control of some kind.
Exactly. And this is in what we might call the base state, which is how it's all laid out inside Blend or Visual Studio. But then what we can do is we can define these other states, which are animations that change the look of this particular UI. So if you go into the states.
Well, should we look at what it does?
Oh, sure.
First?
Let's demo it first.
Because so what we're looking at here is this user control is hosted. And what we've done is we've just grouped a number of subordinate controls in that user control. Yep. And that user control is being composed on this canvas here using a stretch, probably, as the width or.
Yep, this is just set to
whatever.
Put in the middle with.
You can imagine that it was set to stretch so that if it was being displayed on a different device size, it would just be the same user control in the appropriate space available.
Yeah.
And now, as you see, as we go further over here, it suddenly changed.
Yes. So as the amount of available width here changed for our fake toolbar buttons, once the width wouldn't accommodate them anymore, we changed to a visual state and we said, let's make them smaller. And as you keep getting smaller, we'll notice that, again, as we're about to clip the buttons, some of them disappeared, the ones that were, let's say, less important.
And the list disappeared too.
And yeah, as you got even smaller, the list disappeared, so we can still see two columns of content.
So you've recomposed the contents of this user control based on the available size.
And again, as we go up, two things happen. The size of the font inside the list got smaller to accommodate more content. Unfortunately, this isn't a very good representation. The text is hard to see.
You want it more readable.
But yeah. But also, once we ran out of space, we also removed the toolbar altogether. And that's all driven by visual states.
So if we look right on the control, then we can go to the states tab.
Yep.
And we can see where the states have been defined. And this is where this would be empty when you start.
Yep.
And we're just looking at this page for this user control that contains these objects. And if we looked at the document, the outline for this, you see all these different component controls right here.
So these would be the fake buttons at the top.
Right.
In a stack panel, just in a normal stack panel. Then in the item list is this particular list here.
Right.
And then the big items are in a variables wrap grid. So variable size wrap grid.
Got it.
So obviously you wouldn't write your app like this. This is just all hard-coded data just to make the demo easy to understand.
You'd be feeding it live.
And you'd be data bound.
template list to show the different. Exactly. You'd be changing list template based on visual state is
potentially,
what you'd probably
yes.
be doing.
Yeah. But the interesting stuff, of course, is here inside the visual states thing. So you can see we've broken it into three groups. There's a ribbon states, a list states, and a text states group.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these toggle various parts of the UI. As you can see, currently we're on the show ribbon state, and the ribbon is there. And if you click on the hide ribbon, the ribbon disappears. And you'll also notice, for those of you that haven't actually used Blend before, there's this little red recording is on UI with the red border around it. That means that if Larry made any changes to the UI right now, if he changed the color of things or made them bigger or smaller or hid them or moved them around, that would get recorded as part of this visual state.
And right now you have this transition set to zero, which I imagine means no transition. But
exactly.
You could do an animation if you wanted to.
You could animate between. Yep.
It might be a little bit. The main thing we're showing here, though, is just managing these different UIs in the user control based on device size, effectively.
Well, not technically device size, the effective space given to this control.
Okay.
So, which sometimes translates to device size, but like I was saying before, we abstract a lot of that away from you. So
it's not device size, it's viewable.
Effective pixels.
Effective pixels.
Yes. Because you can think about it as well, even though this is a large television, and we're showing, obviously Blend is not a store app, but we're showing Blend full screen.
Mm-hmm.
In Windows 8.1, I could snap this so it took up half the screen, or I could make it so it only took up like a third of the screen.
Right, and so for tablets, there's another paradigm here, which is changing your UI based on snap view size that you
yes.
picked, because there's three snap view sizes now? Or?
There's basically actually infinite sizes. In Windows 8, there was either full screen, landscape, two-thirds of the screen, landscape, snapped landscape, or portrait. And basically with Windows 8.1 and with universal apps on the phone, we're essentially saying, forget about these kind of siloed buckets of things.
Mm-hmm.
Forget even about portrait and landscape. Just think about, do I have a wide but not very tall space to lay it in? Do I have a tall but not very wide space, whether that's a portrait phone, or if I'm stuck on the side of the screen in Windows. Think about these kind of general shapes and not portrait versus landscape.
So you could use this technique to manage portrait landscape on a phone app, just
yep.
if
yep.
you wanted to change the UI based on that.
Exactly.
This would be a much easier way than potentially defining two completely different pages for it.
Exactly, yep. And the good thing there is that if you were traditionally a phone developer, and you thought about, here's my portrait UI and here's my landscape UI, and you kind of separated them out a lot. When you go to build a universal app and you put them on Windows, now your device might be landscape, but if you're in this kind of tall and thin view on the side, I mean, the device is landscape, but your app is looking kind of portrait. And that's why we say it's best to kind of get out of the mindset of portrait and landscape and just think about, am I short and wide? Am I tall and thin? Am I squarish? That kind of thing. And again, what's my effective resolution? Not the display resolution, not the screen size, but what's my effective resolution?
Now, in terms of, this is an amazing utility to facilitate building these different UI states and delivering these different UI states for universal apps. How would I go about testing this all out? I guess I imagine I use the different emulators in Visual Studio.
Yep, there's different emulators in Visual Studio for the different types of phones. So we range from
And let's just take a look really quick here. You can see them if I go to the phone project here, and that's the... Let's go back into the Solution Explorer.
Yep.
And click on that one. Oh, I have to set it to startup project. And then it will flip over. And then now I can see all my emulators.
So here we actually list, you'll notice we list the size of the device here, and also the resolution of the device. Excuse me. Now, of course, before I was saying, don't think about size and resolution, think about effective pixels, which is exactly the way you should think about designing and building your apps. But you do actually want to know the kind of device when you're going to run it in the emulator.
And resolution tied to size, physical size, actually gives you a better picture of effective resolution, doesn't it?
And so we have all these different types of emulator here. And if you look in the device bar here on the left.
Now this is tied to the visual designer.
Yeah, so you can also pretend to be these different types of phones in the design surface here.
And then that changes my design surface to be the much larger one.
Yep. And there's equivalent for Windows as well. So Windows has a simulator, and in the simulator you can choose between a 10-inch tablet and a 30-inch screen and all these different
things. And you do that at runtime, I believe, on the simulator.
Yep. So the Windows simulator does more of a runtime check. And that's how you can validate a lot of your UI. Of course, nothing beats actually having a real device in your hand, particularly for looking at assets. I don't know if we want to talk about assets at all, because that's a different part of the equation.
Well, and it opens up a large can of worms. I mean, obviously, if you can just craft a single set of assets for your project, if you opt to choose, if you want the maximum impact on the high-end devices, you probably want to, if you're only going to have one set of assets, you're going to use the highest resolution assets, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then those will be scaled down as appropriate for the other device types. However, this may cause some challenges with regard to size of your package, I imagine?
Yeah, it can do a couple of things. So what we're talking about is this device, and again, this is now where we'll talk about physical characteristics, not about your layout, which again we should talk about in an abstract fashion. But this is physically a 1080p panel, and I imagined it was 250 dpi, I don't know the exact number. And this is a wide XGA panel, and let's say physically it's 200 dpi. The same asset that I want to display on both of these things, let's say it's a picture of your face, even if I want the approximate size of that asset to be, let's say, an inch by an inch, physically it'll use up more pixels on the higher density device than it does on this lower density device. And so I could, as you were saying, just provide a single, very high resolution asset that's perfect for this particular device. And then on this device it'll run and it'll be displayed
correctly.
Yes. But as you said, one thing is my app package might be larger, especially if I have lots and lots and lots of assets.
As many games might, for
example. And so if I was trying to deliver my application over the air to someone who had a smaller phone like this or a low resolution like a Nokia 520, they're paying the cost of all those high-res assets that they can't use. So that's one reason why you might have both a high-res version of the asset and then a low-res version of the asset.
And our store supports having different packages for different target device types.
Yep.
So you can actually then create those packages for each device type if you want to go that route. You don't have to, but that's one of the options we provide.
Great. And the other problem with down-resing is that sometimes, but not always, if you have a lot of fine detail in your super high-res assets, like a lot of single pixel lines or some other really fine detail, you might decide that when you view it on a phone where it's been down-res, that it doesn't look right to you. It doesn't meet your standards. And that's another reason why you might say, okay, I'll generate a different version of that asset for that lower resolution device.
Great. Well, you know what? I think that this ties into some of the biggest aspects of what we announced at Build. The fact that you can now build a single project in Visual Studio that's leveraged to output projects for both phone devices as well as tablet devices, as well as all these different resolution phones, all the different resolutions on tablets.
Big screens too.
And big screens as well, prescriptive pixel devices and so forth. And you know, we provide, you know, do you have to do all this work? No, you don't have to do all this work. But we give you a lot of different tools that enable you to very easily create different states that will deliver outstanding experiences across the different device types.
Exactly, yes.
And so please, if you're interested in more detail, follow up with Peter's. There'll be a link here to Peter's full session at Build. A lot of detail, hour-long session. Very controversial, hot topic. People don't like being told they don't need to think about resolution. I think it's changing a mindset a little bit.
It is actually, yeah. Being told to forget stuff that you think you know or that you think is important can be challenging sometimes.
And then you also have your blog with the code sample, and there'll be some more, and we'll link to those things too.
Yep, and then we'll put up a fuller sample soon.
Okay, and I think that's it for today. Join us next week on Inside Windows Phone.